With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, a podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined by producer Joel.
Hey!
How you doing, Joel? I like how we're both performing more now because we said that we're recording this in case we want to put a clip out of this bit.
So you gave clips out of the guest. And I was feeling a little bit left out, and I thought maybe we could have a good clip out of this introduction bit.
And I think we're both watchable, aren't we? But I like how as soon as we did it, like started, I performed it, and then you started doing something with your hands.
I did a big wave. I'd never normally wave.
No, you don't.
What's the point?
Yeah, what is the point? But I had to, you know, sort out my ring light, get that all sorted.
Yeah, you look nice.
Because normally I'm in the dark, really, when we do this.
I normally can't see you.
Because you don't tell me about it.
Good stuff. Clip that.
There you go. That's in. That is in. Great. We could turn it off now. Stop recording. That is gold. So, producer Joel, the podcast, last week's podcast came out a bit later. So I feel like I've spoke to you really recently.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's nice. It is nice.
Yeah.
What's happened in that short space of time? Has anything happened with you, Joel?
Has anything happened with me? It was
Mother's Day. Nothing's happened with me, Mark. Hashtag with everybody. It was Mother's Day.
But I guess you live with your mother, so you were able to spend some time with her.
The way I treat my mother every day is Mother's Day.
Oh, that's very nice.
Make her cups of tea, do the washing up.
Do you?
Oh, I'm a.
Oh, you do the washing up. Well done.
I like washing up. I'm gonna put that out there.
Okay.
I know what I like. What? It could be anything.
Washing. No, but in terms of household chores that you like, I really like, I'm in charge of washing the clothes. I love it.
Well, that's not a skill. You stick them in the washing machine and then you take them out and dry them.
That is out.
Are you in charge of drying?
What, you're talking about that, like washing dishes is something you have to study for.
It's a physical, you're actually properly involved with washing the dishes.
Different
it's
temperatures.
A job.
Different colours.
What?
Different requirements.
Yeah, but it's only one decision per load.
Yeah.
Well, that's a second. How is that a job?
No. There's separation, then there's cleaning. And then my management of a clothes horse is second to none. I can see gaps on a clothes horse that no one else can see. It's phenomenal.
Are you going to buckaroo?
Here's a little tip for you. I don't just stick it straight on the clothes horse.
No.
I put it in the order it needs to come off the clothes horse when it's dry.
What order does it need to come off?
Well, there's two of us.
When you're going to use it?
Each of our clothes. Yeah, exactly. Which area of the bedroom it needs to go into, whether it's, you know, bests or like stuff you sleep in.
Yeah.
It's all being thought out in advance.
I quite like putting clothes on a clothes horse.
Sometimes I get so excited about a Sunday when I think I could maybe get 3 or 4 loads of washing done in one day. And I think I'm going to have to try and get these 4 loads onto the 2 clothes horse that we own.
I've often wondered why.
That's all I've looked forward to.
Your girlfriend likes you. And I'm still wondering.
Yeah, me too. Well, she's always clean. Well, her clothes are always clean.
You're suggesting she's not as clean as her clothes?
No. Yes. No.
So to be honest, I think what you should have said is, I'm really drying the clothes
because washing
clean. Yeah, but you just stick them in
The washing machine.
It'd be so weird if I said, what's my favourite household chore? Drying the clothes.
That's not weird. That's not weird.
It is weird.
That's not weird. I like drying the clothes.
Do you?
I like washing the dishes. I don't like drying the dishes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy, I like washing them because I can just really, I'd rather wash them than stick them in a dishwasher. That's controversial.
That's mad.
Yeah, I'd rather wash them just because I like, just, you know, I'm in my own world and I, you know, stick.
Have you not got a lot on, Mark?
Just a t-shirt. Come on, clip it up. Clip that stuff up. That's getting people to the podcast.
I think quite a good thing to get people to, like, to encourage people to tweet in would be, what household chores excite you?
At Jokes with Mark.
I'd love to know.
At Joel_Grove. Let us know. Let us know your favourite household chores.
What's this podcast about?
I just want to tell you a quick joke just to get people back on track. Just linked to what one I did earlier. My girlfriend's mum has been sexting me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other day, I messaged her something innocent like, what have you got on? She texts back. No, I've ruined it. I can't remember what it is. I text her something innocent like, what are you up to today? And she texts back saying she's got nothing on.
Good stuff.
There you go. Same joke as earlier, but just...
Yeah.
More craft, sexier, sexed it up. Okay, cool, good. Yeah. And Mother's Day, we didn't even talk about Mother's Day. What? Oh yeah, no, I was saying about the dishes because yeah. So did you do anything? Could you?
Well, what could I do? I just got bunches of flowers sent to my mum and to my stepmum.
Nice. That's good. That's lovely.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Were they happy? Best you can do at the moment.
Yeah. Were they happy with them?
They both seemed happy.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, until both arrived, I was really worried that I'd sent the wrong labels.
Would that matter?
Well, they got, yeah. So one says mum and one says a name.
Yeah. So.
And I'll let you know a secret. Yeah. It was the same bunch of flowers. So I didn't want to be exposed.
But that wouldn't have exposed you, would it? Because they wouldn't have known what the other bunch were going to be.
They would have done if the name tags were wrong, though, wouldn't they?
Would your mum hate it if she knew the stepmum got the same as she got? Or she'd be all right with it?
I think she'd be all right with it. She'd be more annoyed about being called the wrong name by her son.
What's the name?
I'm not telling you the name.
It's a shame they've not got the same name.
That's the sort of thing that can get you into my internet banking.
What's my stepmum's name? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that classic. Oh, lovely. Well, that's good, isn't it?
What did you do to celebrate them?
Well, I don't know.
Washed a few dishes.
I washed.
Did you get anything?
No. Oh, yeah. I got her a nice book that she likes reading. Got a lovely book. And if I'm honest, I went to Tesco. And I thought, I'll get her a book. And I just looked and there was just one. And this is on most books. It just said on the bestseller or something at the top. So I thought, wow, I can't go wrong with that. And it's one that she's been looking at, apparently, that she saw. Now, I don't know whether she was just being nice saying that.
What's the book? I can't believe you just went into Tesco and picked up a book.
It looked like the sort of book that my mum would like.
What's it called, Mark?
Oh, I don't remember. It's about someone going back home where they hadn't been for years and re-meeting people and stuff. I don't know. But it's the sort of thing that I think she'd like. And she said that is the book that she'd like. So,
good.
Yeah, okay. I did well there. Yeah. And then chocolates and stuff like that. My brother did the flowers. So she got everything. That you'd think
the full suite.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that people get on Mother's Day. That
not really. No.
What else do people get? Nothing. Got a card.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you find there's pressure on you to write a funny note in the cards?
No, I wrote a really nice one actually.
Oh, that's good. I wrote something. But when you write a birthday card for like a friend or something,
no, I never do that. I never send cards to my friends. Oh. What is that? Is that bad? Mm. Do you send birthday cards?
I bet
friends?
I bet they're both quite upset about it.
Well, are you upset about it, Joe?
No, I don't really send birthday cards to my friends, I guess.
Like, men don't seem
that's
to
that's quite
do
a
that.
Male thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that nonsense. Rubbish. You don't need cards. It's all nonsense. isn't it?
Happy Mother's Day.
No, I'll get my mum a card, obviously. We've been talking too long, Joel. We'll do the our regular feature in the bit after the podcast.
We'll stick around.
Yeah, stick around. We've got a good podcast this week, and there's going to be a bonus episode over on patreon.com/jokeswithmark. So go check that out. But who have we got this week, Joel?
We've got the amazing, the inimitable Andrew Bird.
The what? The inimitable?
Inimitable, as in you cannot imitate him. You can't imitate him.
You can't imitate him. Inimitable. What made you say that? Do you think he's got a weird voice?
I'll be honest.
Actually, if you have a weird voice, that's easier to imitate.
I'm running out of adjectives to put in the descriptions for these podcasts. So I'm just starting to use ones that aren't relevant.
Great. That's a nice little...
The massive Andrew Bird.
It's Andrew Bird. Oh, I bloody love chatting to Andrew Bird. This is a good one. Have you listened to it yet, Joel?
No.
You have not?
I'm about to listen to it right now.
It is a good one. It is a good one. All right, here he is.
At the moment, again, I feel like I'm trying to find a new way of doing it. Through lockdown, I've been writing. I used to write everything out, and then I stopped where I would have an idea, write down like the topic of what it was about, then try and think of stuff, and then just make a few like couple word notes about it, and then say it from that on stage. And if it didn't work, I'd write it out and then shrink it back, and then get it to just a word again. So
yeah.
You kind of write out and then shrink it back so you can remember it by a word. But you'd have to write it out in the first place to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kind of got from not having time to write and having kids and just... You were just getting to gigs and just writing a few words and in a panic doing it on stage and stuff like that. And trying to write a bit out before you went on and then just having headings and stuff. And then just recently, during lockdown... I've always meant to do this. I've started, again, writing it out longhand. I've started typing stuff up longhand, typing it out and then shrinking it back to bullet points on the laptop, because I always write ideas down in a notepad. I've always got a notepad. Always write ideas down. It feels right. It should be in a notepad. Mm. Like stand-up should be written down
Lots
in a
of
notepad.
People say that.
People are now like putting it in notes on their, in their phone, kind of, but I still... I'll do that and then write it in a notepad just to be authentic. But there's something about, I'm always conflicted about this as well, that I've done writing for stuff. Like you've been on Mock the Week and you've written on, you've had to write it on a laptop. You write some ideas for bits and then you write stuff on a laptop. And I've done that and I've written with people and for people on laptops because you know, you've got to email it in.
Yeah.
And I've sometimes thought, fuck, if I wrote like this for myself, I would get more jokes. I've made up stuff typing because there's something about it. I don't know how to describe it, but visually it's in blocks and you can move things about easier and stuff like that. Where I think I should do this for myself. So I'm trying to combine writing stuff in a notepad, then typing it up, shrinking it back, and writing it all out, loads of it during lockdown because I was trying to write a tour show. So I wanted to try and do it like that. Like Lloyd Langford told me, Rod Gilbert he types stuff out, like loads and loads, and he has like a 200-page document, and he puts all his research down. Like for the Cat That Looked Like Nicholas Lyndhurst tour, he had this brilliant bit about spa hotels. His girlfriend at the time wanted to go to a spa hotel. I don't want to go to a spa weekend. And he had a brilliant line about, I'm stood in the reception, there's a picture of a pebble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And apparently he had loads of research about websites of spa hotels on his document of writing. And he would have, from going through those websites, he probably would have just noticed there's a pebble on every website.
So then everyone relates to that because
So there's something, I think mixing both, I think, a mixture of making notes in your notepad, writing stuff in your notepad, and typing it up. I'm trying to find a balance at the moment of both.
Yeah, I tend to mix notepad and phone, just because if I'm out and about, I won't have my notepad on me. But if I'm in a cafe, I'll have a notepad. And then everything goes onto the computer. I've got a couple of documents just so they're always there. You can't lose them.
They're on a Google Doc. And then I find that when I'm trying jokes and then just with one line is just like manoeuvring, oh, I'm going to stick that bit there, that's so much easier on the computer because you literally just...
And it makes, I think it makes it clearer in your head as well. Like mechanically, that's a word.
But a set list written... If I put my set list on computer and printed it out, that wouldn't go in like it does if I write it by hand.
If I do the same, exactly the same set three nights in a row at a gig, I would still have to write my set down on a bit of paper before I go on. I think just the revision at school
made you peer pressure.
I would have to. I don't know. I'd have to do it. But yeah, I've got. It's funny, in my first set list as well, I was going to tell you, I've got my first bit of censorship. I clearly showed my set list to someone, which is fucking... You would never do that now.
Yeah.
You'd never show your right... If someone picks up your notepad, you would kill them, like reading your diary. But I showed somebody this, and they made a note in the margin saying, Andrew, you can't say that. Like, whoa,
what was it?
Oh, Bill Hicks back then.
Was it really bad what you'd put?
It's not that bad, but I can see why they said it. It's I've even wrote it out like I'm talking. I'll read it word for word. I tell you what, I'd love to have seen. nice. The Daz Doorstep Challenge. That's dated, isn't it? Remember the Daz Doorstep Challenge? That's how dated.
You love
that
an advert, don't you?
Yeah. The Daz Doorstep Challenge at Fred West's house. So, yeah, Rosemary at the door saying, yes, my husband, after a long day of murdering, has got blood and fragments all over him, and when he dips, buries them, he has soil all over his sleeves or something. I mean, that is, yeah, it's pretty dark.
But I don't think that's unacceptable.
I mean, you can imagine someone saying that at a gig.
Yeah.
But I can see why that person... Andrew, you can't say that. But I was looking through, and there is another bit I did read. I was reading through it, and a lot of it, I remember doing a competition early on, and I didn't get through, and my brother picked me up from Milton Keynes train station. I lived in Toaster in Northants, so it was about a 20 minute drive. God bless him, he used to come and pick me up. And I was just distraught. I thought winning this competition would make me a household name, as you did when you started. I didn't even get through to the next round. And he said to me, well, all your stuff's about drinking and condoms. And I was like, stop the car. And I made him stop the car, and I got out. And I said, I'll walk. And I walked home. It was a 5-hour walk. He drove home, rang me from home, and went, he said to me, like, it's a 4-hour walk, good luck, and hung up on me. But I'm looking at it now, fuck, he had a point.
That's so funny.
From a 20-something year perspective, he was bang on, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
It is, just drinking and condoms. But there's one bit that I thought, oh, that's not bad. There's a, here about Formula One.
Mm.
There's people paid a lot of money to design the safety aspects. All they should do is drive the cars at the A-team, because they used to crash, fly 20 foot in the air, roll about 8 times, and they'd just get out and dust themselves off. You remember in the A-team, no one died, did they?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's it.
For a 18-year-old, that's not bad. And I've got stuff I've even crossed out at the time in this set list that I obviously then decided not to do. And one of them I crossed out for. That's better than all the other stuff.
Is there a joke about... I'm just trying to think something that reminds me of, but I don't know if it is a joke or if it's something I thought of. I think someone said it. If you know the black box always survives, is there a thing about why don't they make the plane out of...
Yeah.
Out of the black box?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a bit someone's done? I don't.
Yeah. Why don't they make the whole plane out of that?
You did it first, mate, because that's from bloody... I mean, no offence. That's from quite a while ago, your one.
Yeah. No, I'm not offended. I have got a note here about a bit, like, again, just such a tiny observation about being in a shop. I hated being the only person in a shop, like a little independent shop,
because
you can feel them looking at you like, please buy something or we'll go bust and I'll lose my mortgage. Like, I think I've tried that once, never worked. Thought, oh, it's just a... Then Louis C.K.'s last special, he had a bit about being in independent shops, but he worded it so much better. You could see That's why that works and why mine didn't.
But then that's...
His was, you're in there surrounded by their dream.
Right.
You're like, oh, there you go.
But this is an example of why a lot of the time you shouldn't ever give up on ideas, because if you'd have really... you might have got there eventually.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's annoying, isn't it?
I might one day go back through some of this.
Mm.
That'd be funny to do a show based on your first ever notepad, and you've got to make everything in there work.
Yeah, well, that's a nice concept. I had this idea, this structure that I used in my first sets, which was about observational comedy, which I think maybe the idea has sort of been done. But I'd always start every bit with, I want to do observational comedy, so I'm not going to do anything unless you can relate to it. And I'll start every bit by going, have you ever, and then say things that obviously they've done, been in a car. The audience would say yes, and I'll just do a joke about a car. And then, so that would be the structure. And at the last bit was, have you ever been on holiday to Devon? And there'd be some yeses, some noes, and I'd be really annoyed. I'd be like, oh, that's my best bit. All right, I won't do that then, because you can't relate to it. And then I'd go, okay, have you ever been on holiday? Stop there. And that would get a laugh. And they go, yeah. I go, okay, cool. I went on holiday to Devon. And then do the bit.
Nice.
And it was a really nice structure. And I've often wondered if that would work in a whole hour, a structure. But then half of me thinks, oh, you can't go back to an idea you had all that time ago.
Yeah, but did you do that?
I never did an hour with it, no. That was just in my first 5-10 minute sets, and then eventually I stopped doing it.
I think you can go back to that if you make something more of it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just wonder if the comedians that knew me back then, they'd come to like see me doing it and go, Crawdy, is he still doing that?
Oh, that's some comedian paranoia.
Do you think so? Yeah. But I like the idea of that structure.
I think that's... I know what you mean. I would have that same paranoia.
Mm.
But if you're making something more of it,
and
you're now using it from your perspective of how long you've been going and how much more experience you've got, like, why can't it be used again? I had that. I'm still damaged by the Newcastle Hyena Comedy Club.
What's that happened?
Because you do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's that gig's one of them where you can't even see the front row. It's just sheet black. Can't see anything but the bar at the back of the room.
Mm.
Is lit up, so all you can see is the bar staff. And I've still got this in my head where, like, the Saturday night, you can just see them going, oh, fuck this bit again.
Oh, really?
The paranoia of someone seeing you do the same stuff. And that was, like, really early on, like, in my first 3 years. And I still have that now. I do the Comedia, where you still, God bless it, doing, like, a Friday, two Saturday, and the Sunday. And I'll be paranoid of the bar staff, and I'll be putting different bits in purely.
Yeah.
Hoping someone beyond the bar's gone, oh, hello. Where they're just
they're not listening.
Talking. Yeah, they're not listening. I've never, in 20 years of stand-up, no, 19 years of doing stand-up, I've never had someone from beyond the bar say, oh, I like the way you do different bits every night. But they'll quickly say you do the same shit every night. They'll say, I've had that.
Yeah. Okay, right, what else have you got? What other ideas did you think that you wanted to mention? You got anything else down?
I've got some more recent stuff.
Okay, cool.
I'll tell you the one old bit that I did notice that I thought that I crossed out.
Right.
And I looked at it and went, why did I cross that out? There's something in that about radio stations. They want you to know that they played non-stop hits, and we don't talk over your favourite hits. And it's like, well, you are now. and you know what I'd like to do is invite all the radio DJs to a film premiere. And then 10 minutes from the end, just stop the film and go, we just play non-stop films. We don't talk over your favourite films. There's something in that. I might have seen someone do a variation of that and gone, fuck, I had that idea.
Someone's been at your notepads, mate.
Yeah, who wrote
in that margin? I reckon that's them. They're leaking your stuff.
Yeah,
that is all a good these idea.
Years later.
That is a good idea. Like, so do you think you'd frame it like that? You go, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get them in the film
because the I like those bits that you kind of, you know where it's going. You've 100% shown us where it's going, yet it's still funny when you get there. I love,
yeah.
Like, I guess, I mean, I can't think of a, maybe Stuart Lee or someone. Sometimes you know where he's going with a bit, but he just keeps going, yeah. And it just gets funnier and funnier.
Sometimes that's a weird, that is a good observation, that of sometimes they have, like, having the balls to let the audience know, you know, sometimes you want to say stuff so it's a surprise to the audience. Like, if they've thought of it as quick as before you finish saying it, it's like they've won in some way.
Yeah.
But in some ways, that's not right. Like, if they've thought of it, then they get, then the laugh's even better because there's a satisfaction then at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's but, what it is, right.
But I don't often have the balls to do it. I just go,
Yeah. Same, actually. If I've got a joke where I think they might get it quicker than I finish it, I'll say it quicker.
Yeah. Whereas, and you often trample over it then, don't you?
Yeah. Because you could also do that joke. It is like, I've noticed that these DJs do this thing. That's a bit like watching an entire film and then the last 10 minutes saying something else. So that, like, do you think, do you prefer doing it that you're getting your own back on those DJs because they've annoyed you? Because the way you framed it, so there's an, it's like an added layer. You're sort of getting your own back on them rather than
You see, maybe that's why. See, maybe that's sometimes what I do, that without realizing it, I've not noticed that. Sometimes I think if you do it like that, you know, when you see a comedian say it, something like that and go, what I want to do is, you're like, fucking all right, mate. But if you said it more of a hypothetical way, like you just did, then it's not so personal. You can just laugh at the idea of it rather than me.
But is it as funny if you're not getting... Because if those people are also annoyed at those DJs,
yeah,
then that could increase the laugh, I think,
yeah,
at the idea of, you know, getting your own back.
But you see, I wouldn't have even... I would have tried it that one way.
I think me doing it
in an angry, ranty way, and the audience might have gone, fucking right, mate, and then I'll have never tried it again.
Right.
See, that's the thing, you see. I should, maybe try it from...
But I like the way you set it up. Like, I think it's good. But that's the thing, there's always another way to sort of approach it if it isn't. It depends on the style as well, because, like, Michael McIntyre, if he did that, he would just make the observation and go, that's a bit like... I don't think he does those sort of things.
See, this is what I always do when I write. I try and think of something and go, fuck, I gotta tell you what.
He'd do a really good job.
Ramesh would nail this. Like, that's why those comedians that... I always think that. Some of the comedians that, like Sean Walsh and Josh Widdicombe and John Richardson and Ramesh and Mickey Flanagan and all them, people go, well, how did they make it big? How did they and you haven't? And stuff like that. And, like, you know, one aspect, just one of the aspects, is with them, the jokes work better a lot of the times. It could be, you could do exactly the same joke, it worked better with them because they've got a clear voice and a clear point of view. And you know how they feel, or you want to know how they feel about it, you know. But I find with me, I haven't really got, still now, nearly 20 years, I don't know what my voice is. Often, like, I've written with comedians and gone, what would you think of this? And I know who they are, and you know them quite well. Like, if you wrote with Sean Walsh or Ramesh, you'd be like, what would he think of this? What would he feel about this?
Yeah.
And I often think, what the fuck don't I do that with myself?
Yeah, because with Ramesh...
Because I don't know.
That's the thing, because you say and then about, do I moan about it or not? You just automatically with them... they would just be annoyed, and that's their, they are just annoyed at this thing, and everyone watching them knows that. So
like, it's just, you know, accepted. How you know, any, you could say any topic and you'd want to know what John Richardson's opinion on that is. I would want to know what his opinion on that is, because you kind of know who he is already, or his attitude towards stuff. And I often find I'll start a bit and then think, yeah, but what do I think of this? I don't know. I don't know me.
Yeah.
Which makes it all a lot trickier, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's why I chose one-liners, I think.
Yeah, I might join you. I've got
You've
a couple
got
more.
You've got a full set of one-liners in those notes if you work your way through them.
Yeah. If I just cross out a few lines. But yeah, I've got, it's, I wasn't sure with Jarrett when I've listened, is it to stuff that hasn't worked, isn't it? To try and get
It's very, that's the loose premise, but it's any, just any joke chat, really.
Yeah, well, I had a bit for a while, and it's like a bit of a story. It's a true story. And I'm like, why hasn't that, I think it's too weird or it's not believable. I don't know, but I thought everyone had a similar thing about, I thought everyone, every boy as a teenager has had an older person show them their penis. See, I thought every boy had had this. This was like,
I find you embarrassed saying this funny.
Yeah, maybe
I
that,
really like that.
Maybe that'd be the way.
Okay, tell me more about what you mean. As in, to show you it, as in, this is what it is and what it does.
Yes, that's what it is, and I need to explain it better.
Like, is but it, I like, is it, sa- I like saying it. You or?
Yeah, good point. I like saying it vague because it's weird, but then maybe I didn't make it clear what I meant. But what I do, because what I meant, and then I started by going, I had a mate had this weird uncle, and they'll go, that sounds worse than it is. Yeah. Right, he had an uncle. I had a mate. Did you know anyone like this? I had a mate who's had an uncle that was like 2 years older than him. Mm. You know the people that have an uncle that are only 2 years older. So his uncle used to come and visit in the summer for the summer holidays. It was like fucking funny. You go and call for him. You go, all right, Slacky. Fuck, maybe I shouldn't say his name, but be all right. All right, Slacky. And he goes, your uncle Dave coming out as well. So his uncle Dave used to come out. And I'd say, well, yeah, we'd go, can we have some pocket money? He'd be like, you get the same pocket money as me, you twat. So then one summer he'd come back. So there's a big difference when you're younger, 2 years. Mm. So we're like, say, 13, and he's now 15. So he's gone through puberty.
Right.
And we haven't.
Right.
Right. So that's what it was. It was, as young boys, we were like, well, what's you're talking about it. And it's normal to talk about it. There's nothing sexual. It's just naive curiosity. So we're all asking, oh, what's it like then when you sort of go through puberty? And there's only two options there. You can either show or tell. And he went for show. There's nothing sexual in it. Because when you're a young boy as well, I was saying about how this man knob just sort of arrives on you and you're still a boy. Like, fuck. And so we were sat on these steps on the rec, on the playground. It's like a back stairwell to an old people's home. And there's three or four of us just all sat there. And he just sort of got his penis out and just sort of showed us a post-puberty penis. And we're all going, oh, yeah. It was like a penis demonstration. There was nothing sexual or sordid. It was just like
the amount of times that you say it's nothing sexual makes me think it was a little bit.
I think that's probably I'm putting the audience on edge. I must have done it more on stage because I've tried this bit out about 2-3 times and it just gets confusion.
Should I tell you what? One thing, I just don't think that's a thing. I just think Uncle Dave's a bit just overconfident.
Yeah,
because I remember just like. I was fairly, I think I was probably about average, but I remember I was really into sport and I remember the kids.
Shower.
Yeah, getting changed after football.
Yeah.
It was a horrible time because you got the confident lads, and all the confident lads are the ones that have gone through puberty.
Yeah.
And they're sort of wandering around with it out and you're like feeling like this little weirdo in the corner.
My mate Ollie Pritchett went through puberty before us and we used to call him Bald Ol. Like, ironically, because he had pubes, he wasn't bold, but we called him Bald Ol. And me and my mate still call him that to this day. All right, Bald Ol, just because he went through puberty before us. But
that's the only time I'd have seen someone, you know.
Maybe I should say, maybe reference that. That's how most people.
And then you're first the obscure.
In the shower.
It's funny if you say that you were telling all these people and then you slowly realise, that's a funny thing that you slowly realise, actually, Dave was just a bit
this
weird.
This isn't a thing. Like, I thought that, I honestly thought that was just like a
ritual.
Part of your adolescence, like a thing of, you know, girls talking about their breasts when some of them get breasts and some haven't, and boys talk about getting pubes when some have and some haven't. There's this weird time where some of you have.
I think we talk about it. I don't recall anyone whipping it out.
Yeah, that, well, that's the thing. And then what was funny was that after, it was just like, all right,
what'd be funny,
should we go and play football? And then we just carried on playing football.
Is there a funny thing where since then you just thought it was normal, so you've been showing everyone yours? That'd be the twist, that you're suddenly the weirdo that's getting his knob out.
Yeah, I didn't think I ended it by saying I remember bumping into him like only a few years ago as adults back home where I grew up. And I didn't recognise him. And he was like, all right. And I was like, all right. And then he went, Uncle Dave. I went, oh, fucking all right.
I thought he'd had to get his knob out so you recognise him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for in the toilet, so I would have known him. But yeah. But his girl, he was there with his girlfriend.
That might even be a good joke, actually.
That might
mate.
Be the joke, yeah.
You bumped into him in the bathroom of a club or something. And
oh, then yeah. You're having a Uncle piss, Dave.
And he's like, Uncle Dave. And you're like, what? And he got his willy out. I was like, oh. Or something. It's, I feel like there's something.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. That might be. But yeah. I've got it like his... then he introduced me to his girlfriend. I'm like, all right, Auntie Lisa. And then... And then my end of it is probably a bit, yeah, it's probably a bit too wishy-washy. That's why the ending of it was like neither of us said anything, but we were both thinking about it.
We knew.
We knew. I was looking at him like, you showed me your penis when we were like 15. But yeah, it's just, it's weird, isn't it? And it's never worked, but there's something funny about it. I don't know what.
I think that's just getting the right angle, because I think if you approached it thinking it's an observation, then it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I might be wrong. Tweet in at Jokes with Mark. Let us know. Did anyone show you their penis when you were going through puberty? Let us know.
That might get deleted from Twitter pretty quick.
Show us a picture. Send your pictures in.
Send your dick pics at. That and should I? Because
have you got one last bit? I think we've got time for one more bit.
Because I'll tell you. So I've told you one of my first ever bits. I'll tell you my most recent bit.
Okay, is this a bit that you've tried on stage or on Zoom?
Not tried at all.
Oh, not even on Zoom. Okay,
no. This is in the cycle of stuff I've tried on Jared Christmas in a conversation. Does that count?
Yeah.
He gave it fuck all.
Did he actually?
No.
Is Jared someone that you will like have conversations with and run past each other? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Him, Luke, there's a few others. Luke Tolson.
It'd be quite cool to know all these different groups, because I've got my group of friends that I run stuff past. I think we all have.
Jared,
it's a good way of doing it.
Jared just the other day WhatsApped me. What do you think of this? I love it when people start a WhatsApp with that. What do you think of this?
And it's just his knob.
Yeah. All right, Uncle Dave. Hang on. So there was something about something in it. It's a bit weird. It's very much of this time as well, about online funerals. My wife just came to the window and went, it's finished. she won't get this. Online funerals. I don't know if anyone's watched an online funeral during lockdown.
I have.
Yeah, and been... I've watched one live, and I've been sent a link for one. My old neighbour, who moved away, she's an old lady, and we kept in touch, and the family told us, she was a very nice lady, and she died, and she sent us the link. It's such a weird thing when you get sent a link for a funeral. That's something you have to watch immediately. It's not something, you know what I mean? It's such a, there's a lot of jokes in there somewhere of like, we were like, well, we've got two episodes left of Killing Eve. I mean, so disrespectful to not watch that night. You have to watch that
night. It feels like the funeral should come after Killing Eve.
Yeah. And then watching it, and just, we're so used to Zoom and stuff now. Just the lack of respect for someone's fucking funeral. It's a funeral and you're just sat there eating crisps and you're getting up and you're telling your kids to be quiet. You're watching it in the middle of the day. I think there's more.
You're
I haven't
in your
got
pajamas.
Many jokes. Yeah. You're at a funeral in your pajamas.
My black pajamas.
Yeah. I'll make a note. That's a good bit. Yeah, there's just...
I love that because it's, you can wring so much out of that, I think.
I think there's a minute... Oh,
the trouble you've got is, how do you feel about doing it? Because I've thought of things to do with COVID at times, and I thought just so many people that have had to experience the funerals of people. Do you think that it might get a weird response?
That's a good point.
Or is it one of those things that would need framing, right, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, again, to make it maybe a positive thing.
Yeah, but it's such a good... It's such a good thing to be able to do, but because no one has ever done it, because it's a new thing. It's quite nice. There's so much you could get out of that as a bit.
Yeah, there's things from... We're in a weird time at the moment for stand-up where there's things from lockdown and Zoom and those kind of things where you... There's very much of this time, and after this, and we get back to some normality, it's going to be a weird thing of people don't want to fucking hear about this shit ever again.
Mm.
There's going to get a point where you cannot do jokes about homeschooling 8 months after lockdown ends.
Yeah.
People won't want to hear it. But there will be things that we're going to carry on in our lives. Like this, we wouldn't have... If we were doing this podcast now, we would have met up to do this. But I think in the future, we will all do more Zoom
100%.
Podcasts,
yeah,
and there's, I think there'll be some Zoom new material nights will carry on because it's like doing a new material night to 12 people on Zoom is much more useful than driving for 3 hours to do it to 4 people in a pub.
No, totally agree.
So I think there's some things that will still all Zoom's gonna is part of our lives now. So I think Zoom funerals will be relevant for a while, and I think that will carry on.
Well, there will be times when people are abroad and can't make a funeral, and
yeah, they'll send them a Zoom link for weddings as well. People are now getting married.
So the Zoom link was the link of it once it had finished.
Yeah, that maybe not a Zoom link then, but it's a link that.
I'd never heard that. I'd only ever seen where you watch it as it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's right. ones where that, so I made so a note
you,
of that.
So, I mean, there's got to be something about funeral on demand.
That's what I've got written here. On demand funeral. I've written it the other way around. On demand funeral, Zoom grief.
Catch up.
Catch up death. Yeah, so I think there's loads in there, isn't there?
Yeah, I like that. But you haven't done, so you say you haven't even done that.
I haven't even tried. I feel
like the key to that bit is framing it like you did that other bit that I was talking about, the terrorist bit.
Yeah.
It's just so that, I just feel like even if there's nothing offensive about it, some people, especially this day and age, will just the fact that there are people laughing in the room and you're talking about these funerals, people will just hate that because
maybe you've got to frame it along the way of, like you said, like some things from that time, we've got to take the positives and use the good things and Zoom funerals. For the people who can't be there, we can carry that on for like people who can't be at funerals and stuff. That's a good thing. But with a Zoom funeral or a funeral online, you've got to watch that immediately. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think
it's disrespectful if you don't.
Yeah, so you're establishing it is.
Yeah,
and then you can't be there sitting in your because that way you're not saying you are doing that.
Oh yeah. But if you're gonna watch it, you've got to watch it that night. You can't put that off. You can't leave it because you've got Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Say it like that. You've got to say it like...
Yeah. I think so.
You've got to pay your respects.
That you're not being disrespectful.
Not like, I didn't watch it for the first few nights. I was watching Killing Eve.
Yeah. I think so. That's good,
That's
man.
The way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm one of them that I have kept all of my notebooks and diaries. From a good tip from... I used to write down all my set lists and then keep... like a massive pile of scruffy, ripped up bit of paper set list. And then it was who's super organised with writing, John Richardson.
Right.
He said to me, I did the 2005 Big Value with John. And he was like, what are you doing with all them all bits of paper everywhere? He goes, get one of these. He's got a day to a page diary, yearly diary, day to a page. So it's every day, full page. And you write down what you did at each gig and you got it all there together in a diary. So you write down your set list.
Oh, that's good.
For what you did. And he makes, obviously, I make the odd note. His is colour coordinated and everything of new bit made up, all of that.
Then if he ad-libs anything, he'll jot down what he did.
He'll put that in. And what's really good as well.
I haven't done that.
Oh, it's brilliant. And what's good as well is you've got that, and then when you do the gig again, and you can't, fuck, when did I do this last? And what did I do? God. You got there, you just flip back and go, and you've got it all there. Oh, it's really good. But so I've got those from, well, I've got diaries from when I started for the gigs, but from 2005 on, I've got day to a page diaries with everything I've done.
And so you won't write, you, that's not where you'll write stuff, like new ideas. No. That's just
where I wrote
login
set list. But I've got all of them.
That's a great idea.
My 2021 is pretty empty. but I've got, optimistically, I've bought a 2021 one. But yeah, so I've got my first ever notebook for when I started writing ideas down. I was obsessed with, like most sort of people at that time, I thought stand-up was Lee Evans. He was the...
Yep, same.
He was the big stand-up. His video, new video was out. And I remember being in school in sixth form and everyone going, the new Christmas, the new Lee Evans one's out.
Oh, that's weird. Same thing. In my sixth form, they got the Lee Evans Wembley one and everyone would watch it every day and all the kids would sort of be acting it out. And I wouldn't have anything to do with it because I was shy.
Yeah.
But that's amazing.
Oh, that shows the difference in age me and you. Mine was, I remember we all watching his the Lee Evans live, I think his second one.
Right.
Oh, I can't remember the name.
Was that
of
one
it,
in like a proper theatre? It wasn't in like a huge arena.
No, yeah, it was in a proper lovely theatre. Well, yeah. The first time he did Bohemian Rhapsody, that one.
Right, okay.
I watched that to death. I used to watch that on a Friday night before going out with my mates. me and my mate used to come to my house, get changed. We'd watch Lee Evans and then go to the pub. I remember in sixth form, Lee Evans Live in Scotland came out and Dean Walsh, who lived round the corner, he got a copy of the first, he got it and he lent it me. And I remember watching that to death. So I didn't even realise I was obsessed with stand-up, but I do remember I thought we all were, but I was more.
Have you ever worked with
every Friday. Yeah.
Have you? When he's like at the Glee or something?
At the Glee, exactly. At the Glee.
Right. Yeah, someone else had that as well with him. Oh, that's cool. Which tour was he warming up for when?
I've done two, actually, his last two.
Oh, wow.
I think maybe even three, but definitely his last two. I did the Glee with him. Oh, it's fucking annoying. My wife, she was before we had kids, so she was with me on that one.
Right.
And he spoke to her more than me. Well pissed off.
She doesn't even understand the jokes.
Yeah. But no, she likes him because he acts it out.
Oh, right. I was going to say, after she spoke to him, he was like really down. worst performance he's ever given.
Yeah. So it was unbelievable meeting him. He just looked like, he looked like something off a video to me. I couldn't quite believe it was him.
I've never met him, but, so that would be the same, I think, if I ever did.
Yeah. And before the gig, it was exactly like you thought he'd be like, what? I remember at one point he went, thanks for letting me come down, try stuff out. And like a dick, I went to him. I was like trying to be funny or something. I don't know. I just went, well, it's not my club. On the way home, I remember saying,
that's one of those things that probably, it still will bother you now.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I was just trying to be funny. But so I used to watch it. And then in, I think it was 97, I'd have been 16, 17. I started, because I remember watching Lee Evans and thinking, which is what all good stand-up is.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I think that. But I thought the fact that I think it means I should be a stand-up.
So you started this career on a lie.
Pretty much. I started it thinking, well, I identify with some of the observational stuff a brilliant observational comedian has noticed, which means I must be a comedian.
That means everyone should be a comedian.
Exactly. And it took a while to realise that. It took a while to realise. And I'll tell you this, I'm slightly embarrassed about this, and I don't think I've ever told anyone this. I remember in school then thinking I could be a stand-up because I observe tiny little things. And I remember telling someone next to me going, oh, yeah. And I told him thinking he'd laugh, right? And what it was, this is awful, that when you drink orange juice out of a carton, what was it? You feel really self-conscious. People are thinking, how much are you having? Because it glugs really slow. That was the observation, that. It's fucking awful. And I remember my mate laughing at it, and I thought, eh? See? And then he stopped laughing and went, what is that?
He was
like... I thought, and I still remember that feeling of some an observation you've had dying.
Right.
So that was my first death. That social awkwardness of something getting nothing. And it's still what a death is today, just a few more people. But I started writing notes, and here's my first ever notebook.
Oh, wow. And how is it? Are you embarrassed when you look at the ideas?
I've been looking through it, and some of them, really embarrassed. Some of them I won't even read, because in this day and age, with cancel culture.
Especially when you were, like, how old were you then? 18, 19?
16, 17.
So, I mean, even now, 16, 17-year-olds are going to write horrible stuff. They don't care about cancel culture.
Yeah. So, I mean, even though I've just read the first line.
You got a similar start to Jared then, because he started really young, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
At school.
I didn't tell anyone I was writing stuff or thinking about it. And I still remember the first couple of people I had the nerve to actually admit that that's what I was writing. Oh, Sam Gulcher, one of them.
Oh, yeah.
My brother's mate.
Yeah, good lad.
He stood on my notebook on the floor in my house and went, "What's that?" And I went, "I'm writing stand-up." And he was like really... considering he was like your older brother's mate, he was really encouraging. Brilliant, yeah, you should do that.
That's nice.
Oh, all right. I mean, if he'd have said, "Well, you little dick," then I might have stopped there and then, but he was quite encouraging and supportive.
It is cool, isn't it? I think it is. No one expects to hear that, so no one has a predetermined way of reacting to hearing someone say that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So it was nice. And I again, it's like real Lee Evans, I love that thing of that, something magical about observational stuff where, I know it sounds really basic, but when you've noticed something and you think it's just you, and then you try it and then you get that laugh of, I know it sounds such a shitty radio interview kind of answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something thrilling about that.
I don't even know what that's like. I'm a comedian, but I've never had that really.
You must have something in some one liners that are something that chimes true. There must be some stuff in it.
I don't know, because most of my stuff is a surprise rather than,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I've tried writing bits that people can relate to. To be honest, if I ever think of something, I'll pass it on to someone usually that can do something with it.
I do that with one liners too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice,
I do that with you. We'll swap.
Yeah.
But my first thing I ever wrote down as a trying to be a stand-up as an observation, and it's such a tiny, tiny observation that is, I've wrote down three papers that you get in the post, three newspapers, local papers, and when you see them in the shop, and it says on it 20p where sold. You know, on a free paper, it says 20p, where sold? And you think, well, where's that sold? And who's buying that when it's free? And that was it. Who's going to buy one when you've just got one posted through the door? That was my first ever observation.
That's good. You're really looking for it, aren't you, with that? So do you think that's something that just occurred to you before? Or was that something when you thought, I'm going to look for stuff, and then you spotted it?
I think I'd already, in my brain... I remember looking at that written on there and thinking, well, where's that sold?
Yeah.
And then I saw Lee Evans and thought, oh, yeah, you notice stuff like that and then you make a note of it.
Right, yeah.
That was it. I don't think I've ever tried that bit. But,
no, I mean, it wouldn't be relevant now, would it? Would it?
Yeah, you still get free papers.
And do they still say on it 20p?
Funnily enough, it's a good point. My wife did the opposite of that. Good point. In
she nicked her paper that she's supposed to pay.
She did.
For. Oh right.
She did. In Sainsbury's. the metro at the train station, we had chickens, right? And you need newspaper to put in the chicken coop.
Yeah.
To all the shit goes on, so you can just clear out the paper. Makes it easier. So we'd run out of free paper, so I'd get a pile of metros from the train station. And she went into Sainsbury's and just picked up a big pile of local papers and took them home. Just walked out the shop. I said, where'd you get them? She went, Sainsbury's. I went, they're not free in the shop. You got to buy them in the shop. So So kind of the opposite happened. I should maybe try that with that story.
That's funny. Yeah.
I would try that just for the principle of trying to get the first thing I ever wrote down to get a laugh, which would be 97.
I mean, would you approach
24
that,
years old.
Would you approach that as that was your first idea and then bring it up to modern day life and say this is, do you know what I mean? Or would you...
Maybe that would be a way of doing it. I've done that before, actually, with one of my oldest jokes as well. One of my first jokes that I actually did in my first open spots was about how my mum and dad didn't... This is a one-liner as well, really. My mum and dad didn't plan me. Okay. I was an accident. They didn't plan me. So I rang the National Accident Helpline and got $4,000. Well, there's blame, there's a claim. So that always did well. That was one of my first jokes where other comedians would go, I like that bit. You know, when that first happens as a comedian, another comedian says, yes, you do. Another comedian says, I like that bit. Oh, it's a lovely feeling. That was one of my first ones where other comedians said, I like that. And that's another one I'd done for years and years. And my wife suddenly in a car journey said, when did your mum tell you that you're an accident? I said, I'm not. It's just a joke. It's a joke, isn't it? National Accident Helpline. And she went, yeah, but you are an accident, though. I went, what? She went, your mum told me you're an accident. I said, fucking what? And I didn't know that I wasn't planned. I didn't know I was an accident. So I've told that through that filter of, this is one of my oldest jokes. And I told it for ages. And then my wife told me this.
Nice, yeah.
And then she proceeded to tell me the method of contraception that I evaded. She said, your mum was wearing a cap.
Oh, God.
And I said to her, oh, fuck, that's mate. And I said to her, maybe that's... Yeah. So maybe that's why steel hats don't suit me. Or something like that. And I added that on as well. But yeah, I think that's acceptable.
I've had that where I've had an old joke that got nicked a lot, and then I had another story about an exchange that happened online with someone about that joke. So that's how I'd sort of I'd get away with doing an old joke.
Yeah, yeah.
By saying this is the thing, and they still laugh as much, especially with jokes. Like if you tell them this is a joke that this thing happened,
yeah,
they still laugh as much as they would if you didn't tell them that. So that it doesn't affect it, I don't think.
Yeah, I Yeah, so I've got my first ever notepad, and Jared didn't have this. I've got my first ever set list.
Oh, wow.
Written on A4 bits of paper with a highlighter in the margin for the topics. I mean, I'm looking at it going, that's quite a well-written set list for a first ever set list.
Yeah, frame it.
But I've got it written, what I didn't realise that I now know, it's all written out, like longhand, like paragraphs.
Right.
And I do remember doing an early gig and go, fuck, I couldn't remember it. And realising you have to shrink it down to just a word.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember that took me a while.
Just to spark your memory, right? And then as soon as you know that word, you know that's coming next, and then you know where it's going. Yeah.
One word will be like I've got in the margins the word that I should have had, like being young, I've got. And then... you know, I should have just had that and memorized it, but I've got the whole paragraph.
I used to do that as well. Actually, one of my first notepads I've kept is it's all in paragraphs. It takes forever to read it all.
But there's something about that I was going to say to you. I did think that one thing I'd talk to you about is I've gone back and forward with this in that I used to write everything out. In these notepads, I used to just sit and write and write and write. They call it now your pages, don't they? What's it called?
Where you just freehand stuff that you just keep.
Yeah, where people say you write your 10 pages in the morning, it can be absolutely rubbish about nothing.
Yeah.
Just to get your brain working. And I think I kind of did that. No, I did start with a topic I wanted to write about that I thought something's funny in it.
Mm.
And then I'd write and write and write and write and write it all out.
So you'd write as things come to you, you'd write.
Yeah, longhand. And as I'm writing longhand, I found a little bit of my brain must be occupied with the writing. And then another little bit of my brain can sort of chip in and go, yeah, what about that? What about, it's like you're two people.
Yeah.
Because I find if I just have a word written down, like three newspapers, and think I need to think of some things for that, I just sit and stare at the word, think I can't write anything, and then think of all the comedians that are better than me that would make something up really good about this, and then hate myself and give up, and then go and watch telly, and then hate myself for watching telly and not writing. and then start just this spiral of self-hate and I'm a shit comedian happens. Whether, if you write out longhand, you're occupied and that stops.
Yeah, that's interesting because I used to do that, but I don't anymore. But obviously I'm a different style now. But I don't know whether that comes from you being closer to school, because back when we were at school, that's how you'd write essays. You'd start and then you just keep writing as you think. Yeah. You wouldn't structure it like... I mean, that's why I wasn't very good at essays. Maybe you're supposed to, but if it was in English and I was had to write a story, I'd just start and I go, oh yeah, then that happens, and then yeah, that can happen. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know whether.
Yes, and I think something. Yeah, I think you're right, and I think there's something in that. That then, as I got a little bit older and I'd left school and I'm in my 20s, man, and no one tells me what to do anymore, man. I stopped kind of writing properly.
Mm.
Well, I did write, but I would write. Like I feel constantly conflicted with I should write stuff out because that's how I kind of feel comfortable writing. And those fucking comedians that I bet you've had on here that go, I just write a word and then I write it on stage.
Yes,
go fuck yourself. Oh, I hate those people that just, I just go on with an idea. And I work it out on stage. Oh, do ya? Sorry to all the other people that have been on this.
This is a bit I'm clipping up.
Yeah.
Andrew Bird! Hashtag Ooga. Fresh. Andrew Bird.
Andrew Bird.
Yeah, tweet about that. Clip it up, Joel. Clip it up. It's all get gold. It's all clipping it up. Ah, great episode. Any feedback about the episode, let us know at Jokes with Mark on all social media. Love to hear from you. Do you want to see, we've got the regular feature, Joel, Spotlight?
Love to, yeah.
So you want to see what my latest email from Spotlight is? See what they're after? It says for your eyes only at the top.
Oh,
that's cool. Lead male 18 to 25. Yeah, it's just about
have a shave,
just about make that. Please state in comment box if talent have MC, rap, grime experience. What's the chance that I just showed my beatboxing?
How weird. Get a weird. Tape into them.
What weird. Any height, good. Male, appearance, black.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And then it's got a dash and says other areas. Black other areas. Oh, hang on, I hadn't read on. That's in the wrong order. Black Caribbean, Black African, African American, and then Black other areas. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this one.
No.
Oh, it says that you need to be within the M25, ideally.
So that's, I definitely can't. That's it. I wish they'd led with that. I got excited and then discovered I can't do it.
Quiet week on Spotlight.
Okay, yeah, quiet week on Spotlight. Okie dokie. So that's that done. Good.
Well done. That's how most people end their features, isn't it?
That's that done. That is that done. That's that done. That's this done. And that's the podcast done.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.